Welcome to the Chalkboard, my fellow football nerds, for episode number 155 of Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at ShaneHaffNFL. I'm joined today by the best co-host in the game. You've heard him on the Tough Cover radio show. It is Mark Henry Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mark Henry Jr. _. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. This is one of my favorite pods that we do every year. I love the My Guys pod. We could do even longer. Like, we could each have like 10 to 15 if you even wanted to stretch it out. I think we might even have to change the name of the pod next year instead of My Guys. I heard Daniel Jeremiah say something happens in the Eagles organization. They have what they call helmet sticker guys. So every scout picks 3 to 5 helmet sticker guys. Maybe this is the helmet sticker pod now. So we're giving out Chalk Talk helmet stickers. I'm excited.
All right. I'm also joined by my co-host and fellow draft enthusiast, Dibes. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Crockpot. Be sure to check out his podcast, Party on Broad. Dibes, how are you doing today?
Doing well, man. Two more days. Two more work days, and then it's go time.
All right. Well, Mark told you guys what we're doing. We're talking about the My Guys, the helmet sticker guys in the 2024 draft. We went through and looked at our big boards. And we compared, found guys that one of us was significantly higher on than the other two. And so for each of those five guys, for each of us, we have where they fall on that person's big board and how much higher that is than the agreement between the other two guys. And we're going to start with the guys there's the least differences on. And as we move through the podcast, we'll get into guys that we're just miles apart on. And we'll talk about why we like these guys, maybe some of the concerns. So you will have heard us talk about these guys before, but we're going to dive in. Dibes, you are up first. Your first My Guy is linebacker Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. You have him at number 26 on your big board. Mark and I, consensus, have him as 36, so you are 10 spots higher on him than we are. What do you love so much about Edgerrin Cooper?
Yeah, he's right there. It's not a huge tier leap, but – for me, he's the tier one linebacker in this draft as like a round two kind of guy. And that's right. A little bit above Peyton Wilson and Junior Colson. You know, he's just an explosive prospect. He was consistently one of the best linebackers in college football last year, 7 sacks in 10 games. He's a guy that has a lot of versatility. He can, you know, blitz, he can cover. That athleticism, that twitch is something you really like to see. He can be a little more, he could be a little more physical when it comes to run support. But pound for pound, man, this is a guy who kind of fits that modern linebacker to a T. Like, we've seen him line up in the slot, look really comfortable in either man or zone coverage. I think he's got round two written all over it, but I also think he might be a first-round talent if it all clicks. He's got great size. So for me, Edgerrin Cooper is, you know, if you watch any of our mock drafts, he's consistently going to the birds at either 50 or 53 and would be a home run pick for me at least.
All right. So that is Dibes' first My Guy. Do we want to give rebuttals on these or just keep it moving along, keep it positive?
I think we should. And I'm, most of them are like slight rebuttals. So it's like the Edgerrin Cooper thing for me is like, I really like Edgerrin Cooper. Again, like Dive said, he'd be a home run at 50 or 53. Where I get it a little, where I have a hard time with ranking him as high as Dives does is because I don't think if Edgerrin Cooper went in the first round, I don't think I'd like the pick no matter what. And there's teams that need a linebacker. And when I do the process where I act like the GM for every team and I do a 3-round mock and I'm going through and doing that. I look at that, you know, mid 30s range and I'm still like, is this a little bit too high for Cooper? Because I just don't think there's that much that separates him from that next tier of linebacker, but he is my number one linebacker. And at a position of need with the Eagles, he's a guy I really would want on the Eagles. It's just about the overall rank.
Mm. Yeah. All right, well, Mark, let's go to your first, My Guy. It's edge rusher Braylon Trice from Washington. You have him at number 35 on your big board, which is 12 spots higher than Dibes and I have him on average. So talk to me about Braylon Trice and what makes him a fringe first-round talent.
This guy's like there's some guys who you guys know I have a type. And Braylon Trice isn't really isn't that type. When it comes to the edge rushers, I like the skyscrapers who are athletic freaks and can get around the edge really well. This is like a tape dog situation for me. Braylon Trice is a guy who, when you turn the tape on, it's hard not to fall in love because he just has an insane motor. He really just never gives up on a play, whether that's in the rush game, whether that's rushing the passer. He's a guy who, watching throughout the college football season, I watched a ton of Washington games. Obviously, they made the national championship, a lot of opportunities to watch them in big games. He always jumped off the screen. And he's a guy I liked even more when I went back and watched early on in the offseason. Beat up Jordan Morgan, gave him his worst game all year last year. Jordan Morgan, a tackle prospect who almost made my guys list. So you guys know how high I am on Morgan. And Trice really beat up on him. My favorite stat when it comes to Trice, over the last 3 years, there's been two performances with a college football player having 15-plus pressures in a single game. Both of them are Braylon Trice. So I always like throwing that stat out there. I just think that this is a guy who is going to take another leap at the next level. Usually I'm not the biggest late bloomer guy, but I think that we've only seen just a taste of what Trice can be as an edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean, we've only seen a taste of what he can be as an edge rusher because he doesn't finish those pressures. Never a double-digit sack season.
9 and 8, though. It's not like – I mean
– 7. Did he probably playoffs. Maybe one's in the playoffs. And so
it's so funny. You know what? Sacks are so funny because you go on PFF, and it's one thing. You go on College Football Reference, and it's one thing.
PFF doesn't count half sacks. It gives a full sack to both guys. So that could be it. If you get your sacks from PFF, it could show different sometimes. I've noticed that.
But we have seen guys like, was it Odafe Owe? He had like 2 sacks in 2 years or something crazy, like 2 sacks and 4 sacks or something. Like that, we've seen guys with much less sack production go much higher than I think Braylon Trice is going to go. And he's got so much pressure production.
Yeah. Just a low floor, high upside kind of guy. I think Braylon Trice is going to be terrific in the NFL. He's kind of slipped over the last couple of months. I mean, I remember doing, our mock was with you guys was my Eagles pick, Braylon Trice, in the first round. And now he looks like a day two guy. But I think he's a great talent.
I mean, he does have more sacks in the last 2 years than Trevon Walker had in his entire collegiate career. And he went one overall. But no, I like Braylon Trice. I just had to throw that one at you. So we'll go to my guy now. It's tight end Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. He's number 72 on my board, which is 15 spots higher than the average between Mark and Dibes. This is a guy that he's just got a lot of versatility, and I'm fully aware this is a type that doesn't normally work out in the NFL, but he's lined up as a fullback. He's been an H-back. He's been a tight end. He's been in the slot. He just brings a lot of versatility. He's got solid run after catch ability. He's a really good athlete. 9.72 relative athletic score. He jumped out of the gym when he did his athletic testing. I think that he's not a field stretcher, but he's fast enough. And I think he just is a piece that you can use in a lot of different ways. Drafted to the right team, I think he could be a really solid player that you can get in the third round or even later. Drafted to the wrong team, he'll be on a practice squad in a couple of years because it's going to take a guy that's going to use this guy right. And like I said, this I know this isn't the most ringing endorsement, but this type of guy I've fallen in love with before, and they never seem to hit because teams just try to plug him into one position to stay. And I think this is a guy you want to move around. But I really like Ben Sinnott. I would be thrilled if the Eagles took him in the third round. Of course, they don't have a third round pick, which is a whole other thing, but I would like him on almost any team in the third round.
Yeah, everyone's looking for their Laporta, their day two tight end that's going to, you know, be better than the first rounders for some reason.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it rolling here. On to Dive's second, my guy. It's interior offensive lineman Zach Frazier. He has him at 38 overall, which is 11 spots higher than Mark and I's consensus. Dives, talk to me about Zach Frazier.
Yeah, Mark, this guy was a former wrestler. No, not WWE, but He's got like a densely built, center of gravity about him. In the passing game, he's got really high football IQ, really good awareness. He's a guy that can anchor against most bull rushes, as we've seen. Doesn't have a lot of arm length, which you would expect out of an interior offensive lineman. And he doesn't have a lot of quickness. But a lot of those areas that, you know, are areas of improvement can be fixed, in my opinion. There was some inconsistent play. I think he needs a little more technique at the next level. But he's mobile. I think he's a physical blocker. He's got a finisher's mentality when you watch the tape. He's a great pass protector. I think he's like above average in a lot of pretty much every area. He doesn't have that high end athleticism you like out of the top prospects when it comes to interior offensive linemen, but his high level football IQ, his competitive toughness, this guy just projects as a long-term starter, maybe not a Pro Bowl kind of guy. But I do have a day two grade on him, just a guy that's going to be in the NFL for a long time.
All right. Mark, anything you want to push back on there with Frazier? How do you feel about him?
No, I'm probably not high enough on Frazier, honestly. I forget exactly. I'm sure you have in front of you the exact number I have him at. He's definitely in a tier where I could argue he could be 8 or 9 spots higher. It's just kind of clumped together.
Yeah, it looks like he is number 47 for you.
Yeah, he could easily be 38 or 39, to be honest, just knowing that after 37-ish, there's definitely a big kind of clump together for me.
All right. It
just comes down to what position you need.
Cool. All right, well, let's go to your next guy. It is offensive lineman Patrick Paul. He is number 27 on your big board. That is 33 spots higher than the average between Dibes and I at 60. So, Mark, what do you love so much about Patrick Paul?
This might be like my guy this year. I love Patrick Paul. The guy's just an absolute monster of a man. 6'7.5", 331, a 9.8 relative athletic score. He's got such just incredibly quick feet for such a huge left tackle with such huge, like, it's 36.25 length arms. Like, it's just, he's made in a lab to play left tackle. He's only given up 2 sacks in the last 2 years, only 7 quarterback hits over the last 3 years. PFF graded him out as an above average, blocker for 2 years in 2021 and 2022, and a great blocker in 2023. He's one of the very best pass blockers in this class. And he has a nasty, nasty mean streak. I think he plays with a chip on his shoulder. It seems to work out well. He's not too over aggressive while still being really nasty. He got an NFL pedigree with his brother in the league. He impressed at the Senior Bowl. I think this is a guy who is going to end up going at the top of round 2, higher than a lot of people think. And I have him as a fringe first rounder. So Patrick Paul is a guy who I absolutely love.
All right. Let's go to my guy. And it is Graham Barton, the offensive lineman out of Duke. I have him at 20 overall on my big board, which is 16 spots higher than you guys have him in your consensus. Super athlete, 9.99 relative athletic score. If you run his stuff as an interior offensive lineman, which he's projected to move to in the league, he played 430 snaps at center as a freshman, and then he was a 3-year starter at left tackle. Somebody asked me when I put out my scouting report video why I'm so much higher on him than consensus. And I said, I think part of it is because I just generally value interior offensive line more than most people do. But I also just think he is such a good prospect. Like, he's got elite speed and agility. He's really good getting to the second level in the run game. He does a great job out leveraging his opponents. Like, he's a technician when it comes to like hand placement. I just think he's a really good prospect. I think that if you need a guard in this draft, if you need a center in this draft, You could argue for Jackson Powers Johnson, who has some injury concerns popping up. But I just think Graham Barton's the best guy to fit any of those spots. And he's got the potential to be able to play all five offensive line positions. So I'm really high on Graham Barton. Like I said, I've got him 20 overall, and you guys keep raining on my parade with him.
He's a great prospect, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to our third round of my guys. Remember, these are becoming more and more like departure from consensus between the other two the further we go. Dives, you've got Michael Penix Jr. as your number three my guy. He is number 31 on your big board, which is 14 spots higher than where Mark and I have him on average. Talk to me about Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, this is definitely my guy. This is the first one of the day where I'm like, yep, that makes that one checks out. I've been a big Michael Penix guy since the jump. This is a more of a stationary pocket passer. He's got great arm strength. He's a guy that is known for pushing the ball down the football field, clutch, so many big moments in 2023. You can't even count them all, but the ball explodes out of his hand. He can bomb it 60 yards down the field with the flick of a wrist, man. This is a guy that he's not a creator like Caleb Williams. He's not going to make multiple defenders miss or create outside of the pocket like a Jaden Daniels or so. Some issues with accuracy for sure. He needs to respond better to blitz and pressure and be more accurate there. If you're looking for a guy that could drive the ball down the field and run a lot of play action with hitting guys in stride on all three levels, I think Penix could be your guy. I think he's going to be a first rounder. Personally, I would take him over JJ McCarthy, but that's just me. I am biased. So Michael Penix Jr., man, I'm happy he's one of my guys.
All right. Let's keep the ball rolling here. And Mark, let's go to one of your guys. You have Jeremiah Trotter Jr., number 45 on your big board. That is 36 spots higher on average than Dibes and I have him. So talk to us about Trotter Jr.
Yeah, I'd say that I like N'Kobe Dean way more than consensus, and that did not work out. So why not run it back with such a similar prospect? I do think that Jeremiah Trotter is a different player than N'Kobe Dean, but it is kind of funny to see how many similarities there are. But Trotter was so well-rounded each of the last 2 years. Good pass rushing grade from PFF, good run defense grade, great coverage grade. I think he's elite against the run. I just think he would immediately come in and really, really help our run defense. Obviously, the pedigree is there with not just the Eagles, but with the NFL in general, with his dad there and Jeremiah Trotter. It makes me nervous that the size isn't exactly what you'd want it to be. But for as much as I have my concerns with N'Kobe Dean, there aren't, that many differences between N'Kobe Dean and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who turned out incredibly well. So a lot of that is to do with situation. A lot of that's to do with health. So I'm not going to just shy away from Trotter because of an evaluation on another player.
It's that the him in coverage has me most fascinated. His numbers were really good there.
Yeah,
he had a passer rating allowed of 42.9, open target rate allowed of 47.6. He's not. I have some questions about his run defense, but his ability as a blitzer as a guy that can drop back and cover are really good, man. They're really strong.
Yeah, I guess specifically for the Eagles, I really just don't like that fit next to N'Kobe Dean. But this isn't just an Eagles podcast, and just overall, I have concerns against him in the running game and about his tackling ability. I mean, he had a 16.3% missed tackle rate this year. Football's a big man's game, and I'm not sure that I'm interested that much in an undersized linebacker who really struggles to tackle. Now, at the end of the day, for the Eagles specifically, I mean, take literally anyone at linebacker and it would be an improvement. So, and that's not to say I don't think Trotter can work in the league at all. I just have some concerns about his profile there.
Yep. I just think we're at the point where I don't know if N'Kobe Dean's playing a factor in how we're evaluating own linebacker position. Like, he at this point might just be a sunk cost.
Yeah. I agree with Mark. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to a comment here, Freddie on Facebook says, amazing stuff. Thanks for joining the show, Freddie. You guys keep the comments coming. If we're talking about a guy that you like, that you don't like, you can sound off here and let us know. But I'm going to go to my third, my guy. It's wide receiver Keon Coleman out of Florida State. I have him at 31 on my big board, which is 18 spots higher than you guys have him on consensus. I think Keon Coleman is just, he's a prototypical X wide receiver. 6'3", 213 pounds. Yeah, his 40 time was slow, but his 10-yard split wasn't. He can jump. He's got explosiveness there. I think despite what his combine testing showed, he has good agility and explosion for his size. I think he's got pretty good yak ability, just not because he's like making, you know, juking guys out of their shorts, but he's so tough to bring down. He bullies opposing defensive backs throughout the route stem, and he defeats press really well. I think he's a plus blocker, and he tracks the ball really well. He makes some ridiculous catches. Like, some of the catches in his highlight reels are just incredible. And yeah, his long speed's not great, and he's not the most nimble route runner, but I really do think Keon Coleman has a spot in this league as an X wide receiver. Especially on a team that wants to like push the ball downfield, use him to attack vertically. He never produced well in college, but he also never played for a good offense. And he was the leading wide receiver for his team each of the last 2 years. So I really like Keon Coleman. He's the guy that I'm definitely higher on than you guys.
He made my most overrated list. yeah, like he's a strictly an outside receiver. He was a blast to watch with Jordan Travis when healthy, but at the end of the day, man, he's a bad route runner, man. Like 1.74 yards per route run, that is a horrific number, man. This guy is going to struggle to create separation at the next level. And I have my concerns. The good news is, you know, he's one of the youngest receivers in this draft period, so you're banking on that upside. Definitely needs to correct that route running, man. I think he would be a reach in round one, but I still think he's going to be drafted in round one.
I know Coley Mick from Underdog Fantasy. I was actually just listening to a receiver pod today about the NFL draft, and Keon Coleman came up, and he does a pod with Steve Smith from the old receiver from the Carolina Panthers. And Steve Smith put it great with Keon Coleman. You watch the highlight tape and you're like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. Then you look at the stats and you're like, that's where all the highlights went. Like, I didn't, it must've been like every play he made was on that highlight tape. So it's just like a little bit of a lack of production. And what it really comes down to, the yards per route run thing also Coley Mick brought up, and there's basically never been a receiver who has panned out that would played a certain amount of snaps on the outside in college that had like under a certain threshold in yards per route run. Yeah. And him and actually AD Mitchell both fit that threshold. So I'm not using it as a catch all. I like Mitchell more than I like Coleman. But the interesting thing with this receiver class is just there's so many. So yeah. I do think so much of it comes down to personal preference. So I'm choosing to be a little bit scared of the lack of production in the 4.6.
Yeah, the other guy is Xavier Worthy, who everyone's freaking out about his 40-yard dash time. But how in the world was he 139th in college football last year when it comes to yards per completion? Think about that.
Yeah. comment here from Alex on YouTube asking if Keon Coleman is more of an X or a big slot. I think he's definitely an X receiver. I don't think he doesn't have the nimbleness that you would want out of the slot. I don't think. I mean, he can play there. He took 28% of his snaps in the slot at Florida State. You could use him there situationally, occasionally, but he's definitely not where I would want him primarily.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit scared that he's a little bit Devontae Parker-ish. I won't use the four-letter acronym that we won't you know, the it's like Voldemort when it comes to Eagles receivers in the draft. I won't use the, those four letters, but Devontae Parker, new Eagle. There's a little bit too many similarities there for me.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it rolling here. Dives, let's go to your number four, my guy. You have him at 65 on your big board, which is 23 spots higher than Mark and I do. We on average have him at 88. So talk to me here. How do you pronounce, first of all, tell me how you pronounce his last name. And then tell
Chris Abrams Drain.
Drain. Okay. Just like it looks then. Talk to me about him. What do you like about him so much?
Yeah. If you're looking for a big time kind of slot corner, this is your guy. Excellent athlete, man. He made my top 10 slot cornerbacks video on here. He's got some inside outside versatility. You look at the size, obviously, you know, he projects to be in the slot at that next level. But, you know, even being that small, he's a very aggressive tackler. He only had 5 missed tackles in 2023, a missed tackle rate of only 7.5%. And he plays physically. Like, you watch the tape, man. There's a lot to like. And on top of his tackling, man, this is a guy who's aggressive when attacking downhill, quick trigger, excellent closing ability. And when he's in coverage, man, he's quick, man. This is a guy who can put his foot on the ground and stop momentum quickly and make big plays. So if you're looking for a slot corner who can kick it outside when needed, I think Abrams Drain is an underrated dude in that day three range. So get to know Chris Abrams Drain. I feel like we'll be talking about him on Friday.
Yeah. All right. I agree with that. All right. Mark, I feel like I got to throw this question to you before we get to your next guy, but a comment on Twitter asking, how do you weigh the age of, say, Coleman versus a guy like Leggett, who just barely missed your my guys list, Xavier Leggett, where he's got less holes, but he's an older prospect. So how do you approach that?
To me, generally, I would try to use that as confirmation bias. I would kind of come up with my opinions based on tape, based on stats, based on traits, based on numbers. And then, you know, you can factor age in as one of those if you'd like. But it's one of those things where you have these two guys that are ranked. How I would use that basically is to break ties. And to if two prospects are close, I would give the nod to a guy who's a couple of years younger and obviously earlier in their development. For instance, like the quarterback thing, in terms of confirmation bias, I liked Drake May more than Jaden Daniels this whole process. But when I really sat down and thought about the fact that Jaden Daniels was in his fifth year and Drake May was in his third year and only his second year starting, whereas Jaden Daniels got to play 5 years in college football, you wonder how much better Drake May would have looked if he had 3 more years against college competition. So I'd be lying if I said that it's not a factor, but it's more something that I would use to break ties or to differentiate a tier.
Yeah. All right. That makes a lot of sense. Let's go to your fourth, my guy now, Mark. It's a
great question, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good question. You guys feel free to keep questions, comments coming here. Mark, your number four, my guy, is defensive back Kyrie Jackson. You have him at number 38 on your big board, which is an average of 39 spots higher than Dibes and I have him. So talk to me about Kyrie Jackson.
Yeah, I said Patrick Paul was my guy. It might be Kyrie Jackson, actually. I love this guy. And this falls kind of right in line with I like bigger corners. And I feel like every year we see two or three of these guys that are just 6'3" and can move. And I don't get why they're, you know, going lower. And he's not as freakish. He's not as fast as a Tariq Woolen, but it reminds me a lot of Tariq Woolen, where a couple of years ago, Shane and I were looking at all Woolen's numbers. I think Dobbs was pretty high on Woolen as well. And we were looking at all of Woolen's numbers and we were like, why is he not going higher? And then eventually the community caught up a little bit, but he still ended up, I forget where Woolen went. He didn't go early.
Day two.
One pick before the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. So he still didn't end up going early enough with how much he has shown in his young career. But Jackson reminds me a lot of that in some ways, just less freakish, but a lot very similar on tape. Just uses his length, 6'3" and a half, an 8.0 relative athletic score. only a 1 year starter, but an incredibly impressive year. I think he's just built to be on an island as a press man or a zone corner on the outside. I think he can really handle himself in one-on-one. He's got great ball skills. He's a little bit handsy, but didn't really get flagged a lot for it. Really good tackler. Again, uses his size when it comes to that. And he is an exact size comp to Tariq Woolen, just the exact same size. Something that's interesting, and I wonder if this is why he's falling and why he hasn't caught any buzz. He started his college career at community college. Then he transferred to Alabama. He was suspended after being named a starter for undisclosed reasons and then transferred to Oregon. And I think there was some, I think he had some social media posts about Saban that he had to delete at one point when he was in the transfer portal. Maybe there's some off the field stuff that we're not privy to, and that's why he's lower. But when I watch him on the tape and I look at the traits, I struggle to understand why he's not an early day two guy.
By the way, Tariq Woolen actually was a fifth round pick.
I thought so. Yeah.
What?
153 overall. Dibes, Mark, and I all had him in our top 55. So
that's surprising.
Yep. And if he had a 9.7 relative athletic score, 4.26 40 yard dash. So, all right, let's keep it rolling here. We'll go to my guy. It is Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out at Georgia. I have him at 34 on my big board, which is an average of 33 spots higher than Mark and Dibes have him at 67 overall. I look at Ladd McConkey and I just see, I think he's one of the best route runners in this class. Mm-hmm. And yes, he's never had big production. His highest producing year was 2022 when he had 762 yards, 7 touchdowns. That was the leading receiver on his team. And don't forget, he shared an offense with Brock Bowers. And so Brock Bowers took a lot of targets. He only had 478 yards this year, but he only played in 9 games. He missed a month of the season with back injuries, missed a couple weeks with an ankle injury, but I just think he's such a good route runner. Really good flexibility and change of directions. He's got great acceleration to his top speed, which, by the way, is sub 4.440. I think he can be a vertical threat. I think he can run a really diverse route tree. He thrives against off zone cover or against zone or off coverage because he eats up that cushion quickly. He can stack defensive backs. He's a yak threat. He's got punt return experience. Like, I think Ladd McConkey, despite his relative lack of production in the NFL, I think he should be a lot higher on boards than he is. I think he is just kind of your quintessential slot receiver for the NFL. He only played 25% of his snaps in the slot. He played a lot as a Z receiver, but I think you can kind of use him in both of those roles. I wouldn't be shocked if he sneaks into the back end of the first round, but I think he's probably more of like a high second round draft pick.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to our last round of my guys. Remember, these are the guys that we have the largest divergence from each other on. Dives, you can kick us off here with defensive back Cole Bishop out of Utah. You have him at 66 overall, which is 31 spots higher than Mark and I have him on consensus. So talk to me about Cole Bishop.
Yeah, tested really well at the combine. Way better than I had expected. 4.45, 40-yard dash, 1.52, 10-yard split, 39-inch vertical, 10-4 in the broad. And I didn't see that coming. So Cole Bishop is a guy that has versatility to kind of play all over a defense. He can line up in the box. He can blitz the quarterback. He can contain man or lower zone coverages. Like, this is a guy who has the speed and athleticism to keep up with tight ends and running backs. He's a great playmaker as well. So Cole Bishop is a guy that I was kind of lower on, and I think he's definitely climbing up the boards a little bit. I was thinking probably like early day three, but now I would not be surprised to see him taken sometime late day two. So I love the way this guy brings it on the football field. His motor is relentless. He's a guy I'm rooting for, and I would be totally good with the Eagles making him their selection sometime, maybe not so much like with the 53rd pick. They don't have a third rounder, correct? So, yeah. So, Cole Bishop, man, he's a fun one.
All right. Yeah, the Eagles do not currently have a third round pick. We'll see if it still stands that way at the end of the first round. Mark, we're going to stay in the same position group here, and we're going to go with a guy that stole your heart. It's defensive back Cam Hart. I see the smile there. You caught it. Cam Hart is 54 on your big board, which is 44 spots higher than Dibes and I have him on our consensus. What's the deal with Cam Hart? Is it just the logo on the helmet?
Cam the Hitman Hart. I love Cam Hart here. Obviously Notre Dame. I was too low on Joe Alt. I was the lowest of us on Joe Alt, and I felt like I had to overcompensate for that by being the highest on a different Notre Dame guy and bringing him to the public. No, but Cam Hart's the guy who I've just, as a Notre Dame fan, I've really enjoyed watching over the last couple years. And I've always thought, you know, he's not going to be this high draft pick or anything, but I've always thought he was going to be able to carve out a spot at the next level in the NFL. Yeah, he does look like Eddie Murphy in that picture. That's very funny. He's a 9.0 relative athletic score, 6'2", 207 pounds. It's great frame, long arms, great vertical, great speed for his size. I know he's had some injuries, but he still started 32 games over the last 3 years, played a ton of snaps, all at outside corner. He's just a prototypical outside corner when it comes to his size and speed. I think he's a physical zone cornerback, great tackler, great coverage grades, according to PFF. And part of the secondary, and one of the biggest reasons that Caleb Williams had the worst game of his year last year against Notre Dame, maybe the worst year of his career, or worst game of his career against Notre Dame last year. Cam Hart was a big part of that, as well as a guy that Dives knows very well since he's been looking at the 2025 draft, Benjamin Morrison. But we'll wait until next year to talk about Benjamin Morrison.
It's a monster. And your other boy, man, Xavier Watts, he's legit too. One of the top safety prospects in next year's draft. And the fun part about Cam Hart was when Josh Hart was carving up the Sixers last night, and I was tweeting during the game. Tells you how far like my head is in NFL draft mode. I was tweeting and I kept saying Josh Hart, Cam Hart in my tweets. So anyway,
Cam Hart, if I tweet out a lot of it, I think tonight I'm going to do a thread tweeting out all these mock drafts that I did for different teams around the NFL, and Cam Hart, because he's so low on PFF, he's just like a fifth round pick or a fourth round pick on every team. So shout out to Cam Hart.
Yeah. All right. Covered Mitchell Evans today or yesterday, for your Notre Dame people.
All right. And that brings us to my final, my guy. It is running back Jonathan Brooks. And if I'm the highest on a guy from Texas, I've got to just really like the player because I sure don't like the school. But I have Jonathan Brooks number 55 on my big board, which is an average of 49 spots higher than you guys have him. I think he's such a good prospect. And, you know, you got to start with the injury concern. He's going to be coming off of an ACL injury in what was basically his only year as a starter. So that's concerning. And I try to set those medical concerns aside, though. And if I set the medical concerns aside, I see a guy that he's a very sudden runner that's got great stop-start ability. He is a plus as both a receiver and as a pass blocker, which is huge for NFL running backs to get on the field as rookies. You've got to show your reliability on passing downs. He can chip and release. He can be left to pick up blitzing linebackers and defensive backs. So he's good in those situations. I think he's got good vision. He's at his best running like outside zone schemes and scanning for cutback lanes, but I think he's fairly scheme diverse in that manner. He maintains good balance through contact. There's a lot of times he just seems to bounce off tacklers and keep moving forward. And he explodes out of his cuts and picks up yardage quickly. So I really like Jonathan Brooks. I totally understand if some teams just don't have him on the board because of the ACL injury. And it stinks that we haven't seen him play since the injury. It's not like it was an injury and he came back for the playoffs or something like that. We haven't seen him play since the injury. We haven't seen him athletic test. You know, the injury was in November. So he's going to be pushing it to try to get back by the start of the season. I would assume that's a lot of the reason you guys are lower on him than I am. But I really just like the player if you can remove that injury.
Yeah, for me, it's just he plays a position that in this draft you'd have to like I don't you'd have to put a gun to my head to make me draft a running back before the top 100. I hate this class. I really do. And if you're right, if he didn't have a knee injury, I'd probably have him like 60th or 55th. So he would easily be RB1 without the injury.
Not for me. The guy that I want to throw out there, since we're on the running back train, is Jalen Wright. I had him ranked 81st on my big board. Shane and Mark, you both were tied at 110. Which
that means he didn't make that means he wasn't in our top 100.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. So I think Jalen Wright has a really high upside as a receiver. I think he doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires. He's only 21 years old. I remember being on the Jalen Wright hype train early, and I think he's right up there as the top running backs with Trey Benson. So I want to throw a shout out, Mr. Jalen Wright.
It's funny. The one running back who it's funny, the more I think about it and the more I look at my rankings and the more I think about just kind of multifaceted ability, I hate to say it, but I am starting to think I'm too low on Blake Corum. I think I have Blake Corum as my RB3, behind Audric Estime, behind Bucky Irving. And I think Estime and Irving the best things they do are better than the best thing Corum does at anything. But I think there's a chance Corum could be a three down back, where I don't know if I see that with Estime or Irving. Maybe Estime. Maybe Estime, who, by the way, shout out to his brother for giving me a follow.
Audric is the best.
We love that. So we love that in draft season, getting follows from like dads and brothers of guys. It's so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's about going to wrap it up here. Dives, Mark, this is our last show before the draft. Any last second draft takes or thoughts you need to fire off? Dives, I'll throw it to you first. Anything you need to get out there in the podcast universe?
Time out. I think right now we should take this opportunity to throw our Eagles big board out there. Just real quick. Just run down a top five. Like top five, what we're hoping for.
All right. Start us off, Mark.
I can start us off. Yeah. And we're going to exclude the quarterbacks, exclude the top three receivers, exclude Alton Fashanu. One, I'll throw tight end Brock Bowers up there, even though I think it's unrealistic. Before, I wouldn't have even listed him, but it seems like he is falling just a little bit. So if he's available, you have to take him. Just best player available, you ignore the need. Two, I would go with Terrion Arnold. I'm so desperate for a corner that you'll notice a trend here. Number three would be Cooper DeJean. Number four would be Nate Wiggins. Number five would be Quinyon Mitchell. And then number six, and after that would be the three edge rushers. But really that top five, the guys that I really want are Bowers and then my top four corners.
All right. Dives, what about you?
Yeah, I'll go Terrion Arnold, number one. Number two, Quinyon Mitchell. Number three, Leatu Latu. You can lock that in. And I think those are the main trio that Howie is looking to move up and draft, in my opinion. Number four, I will go Cooper DeJean. Number five, I'll go Dallas Turner.
No Brock Bowers. You wouldn't even take him if he was there?
I would think about it, but I need to hit some other positions.
I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah, I would go one and two or Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold neck and neck, but I've got Mitchell a little higher. Three would be Brock Bowers for me. Four, Leatu Latu, and five would be Cooper DeJean.
I do want to throw this out there because it's not a my guy. I wouldn't say Nate Wiggins is a my guy. I have noticed I'm a little bit higher than consensus, I'd say. I think that if we draft Nate Wiggins, I'm going to be the only happy one of us three. Is that correct?
That's not true.
Okay. I'm wrong.
Totally good. I just soured on him.
Yeah.
Is what it is with his run defense and all the nightmares we had with the Eagles and their lack of tackling in 2023, I think Nate Wiggins would be a great selection. He wouldn't get me as excited as like Terry Arnold, who's like a physical player, a guy that can like really tackle well and run defend with the best of them. But still, man, he's still an elite talent. You can't deny that.
I wouldn't be unhappy. I would be terrified though. Like he's 23, I think it is on my big board, but man, he scares me. Like he's one of those guys. We talk about high ceiling, high floor, whatever. He's a boom bust guy. Like he's going to either be really good in coverage or he's just going to be Emmanuel Forbes. And I know they're not the same kind of player, but I've got the same kind of concerns that I had about Forbes, just in terms of his total inability to tackle or play physically. And so that does scare me. But I wouldn't say I'd be upset. It just depends on what else is on the board.
I will say I'd rather have like Jared Verse than Nate Wiggins at 22 if like both were available. But yeah, Nate Wiggins is definitely kind of on the lower end of the totem pole when it comes to like possible guys. But the allure is there. His coverage abilities are as elite as it gets.
Yeah, I'm just so tantalized by the coverage ability. I just think I would rather take him than the edge guys, and I would be concerned about the size. But I also don't want to – I don't know if Emmanuel Forbes' career is over yet either. You know, he was given some tough assignments.
He needs to get out of the NFC East.
Yeah, he was given some tough assignments with AJ, CD. I mean, yeah, what a nightmare.
He needs to get into the CFL.
Yeah, I think he could have a future. I don't want to just totally say, like, anyone who's small corner can't succeed because if Forbes had a rough year, but I do get the concerns for sure with Wiggins, but I there's so much AJ Terrell and his ability to cover out on the boundary.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up. Oh, Dibes, you got something for us? Yes. join us for the NFL draft coverage. I just did this promo on Birds of the Roundtable. I forgot to do it here. But if you're going to watch the NFL draft, you might as well watch it with us, the guys that have been covering the draft for you since September. It all comes to a head on Thursday night. Mark, Dibes, and I are going to be live along with Ryan and David. If you watch Birds of the Roundtable, you've seen them on there. If you watch Party on Broad, you've seen Ryan on there. So come hang out with us. Thursday night, we're going to be live at 7 o'clock, which is an hour before the draft starts. We're going to be talking about what to expect at the top of the draft, all kinds of stuff. We will be live all throughout the draft on day two. The draft starts at 7 and we'll be live at 7 o'clock then as well, tracking along on our big board. If you're a listener of this podcast that's not an Eagles fan, we know there's some of you out there. Come join. This is not going to be an Eagles-centric draft show. The idea is you could go watch Mel Kiper talk about the draft, but he's not going to read your comments and put them up on the screen, and we will. So come hang out with us. It's going to be a cool experience. We put a lot of work into this show every year. We would love to watch the draft with you.
I'm already getting my Mel Kiper impression ready. It's not Todd yet. 6'5", cornerback out of Alabama. There's certain ticks. It's my favorite impression I do. So I'll bust it out for like a full couple minutes on the stream on Thursday.
Also, I've been putting together some NFL draft trivia too. So
love it.
Bring your A game, guys. We're gonna have some fun with that.
I will be truly, truly terrible at the NFL draft trivia, but it'll be a fun time. So join us then. Thank you guys for joining us now for episode number 155 of Chalk Talk. If you enjoy what you heard on the show, and we know that you do, be sure you smash that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you don't miss our next episode. Drop us a 5-star rating wherever you stream your podcast. That really helps us out. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Shane Half NFL. Mark is at Mark Henry Jr. Dibes is at Mr. Crockpot. And we will catch you guys next time.